Let's continue our worship of the Lord with prayer. Can we pray together? God, we do surrender to you. We do surrender our hearts, our lives, our agenda, our wills to you, O God. Thank you for these songs this morning that have prepared our hearts to worship you. And Father, I pray this morning, if we haven't found ourselves at that place of total dependent surrender to Jesus Christ, I pray that that would happen today in church here, but around the globe. People would find themselves coming to the cross, receiving the grace of God, repenting of our sin, and trusting Christ as Lord, surrendering to you, O God. I pray that that would happen all over the globe, in churches and out of churches. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you like this morning. I thank you for your church, people gathering all over the globe. Will you guide us by your Spirit, Lord? Will you help us to hear from you? We've come to worship you. Will you help us hear from you? Speak to our ears, speak to our hearts, Father, I pray. May my words be straight from you, O Lord. May you receive glory in churches everywhere. And I do pray for those, Father, that aren't in church today. Maybe they don't want to go. Maybe they're in a hospital bed. Maybe they're in a care center. Maybe they're in jail. I pray for them, Father. Speak to them too. Reach them, Lord, by your Spirit. Help them to be born again and surrendered. Surrendered to Jesus Christ. And Father, I do pray for those on our prayer focus. There's a lot of names, a lot of hurts, a lot of loneliness, a lot of health issues. I pray I lift them all up to you, Father, and say, Thy will be done. Intervene, O God, intervene, Almighty God, and Thy will be done. And then I pray, Father, for all those that don't know you. That's way more serious than our physical challenges. I pray, open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Open the hearts of those that haven't received you as Lord. Help them to come to know you, O God, I pray. In America and around the globe, oh, that we would know you. And so, Father, thank you for each person here today. As we have come together to worship, continue to lead us. Continue to guide us. We've come to worship you. May we now continue to hear from you, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I have brought a prop. You know what this is? Young people, you know what this is? Yeah, it's a box. That's true. It's definitely a box. This is called an urn. And I have brought this prop this morning as a visual reminder. Actually, let me back up a minute. It was in my office the other day. My beloved wife comes to my office. She didn't know what I was up to. And she saw this box sitting there, and she asked, is someone in it? Because that's what happens in the box. Someone ends up in it. This is an urn. And I've brought the box today. Now, you may choose to be in a little old box. These are called urns, or you may, I'm going to leave it right here so you can be reminded throughout this story today. We're all going to end up in the box. You may choose a little larger box. Some of them are about 7 feet long. Or you may choose to be placed in a little box. But we're all going to end up in the box. You may be rich, or you may be poor. You may be educated, you may be uneducated. You may be black, you may be white. You may be a lot of things, but there's one thing going to happen to all of us. Unless Jesus returns here pretty soon, we're all going to end up in the box. And so I've brought the box today as a reminder. You see, last week, if you were here, some of you remember this, we were in Matthew 7, 21 and 22. And Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember Matthew 7, 21 and 22? Then he says, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then in the 22nd verse, he said, but many will say to me on that day, this day, when we end up in the box, many will say to me on that day, but Lord. Remember what he said? We did this and we did that. We can stand there and we can argue before God all day long. But God, I did this or I did that. But when we've ended up in the box, it's too late. Arguments are over. And so we have a local box maker. And so I asked him this week if I could use one of his boxes. And he graciously allowed me to have the box for a visual reminder today that we are all going to end up in the box. Now, I read a book this last week or week or so ago. Maybe some of you have read Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book called 1 Minute After You Die. Anybody read that? 1 Minute After You Die. Nobody. It's a good book. It's really easy to read. I read it in the afternoon. And so it's really easy to understand, it's really easy to read. And I read that again for the second time the other day because I wanted to be reminded of Dr. Lutzer's points on this idea of 1 minute after we die. You see, friends, the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter how old you are or young you are, we are one breath away from eternity. Are you still with me? We're one breath away from eternity. We could be done at any moment. And when we take our last breath, we're going to end up in the box. But the point that I will make to us today from Scripture, Luke 16, if you have your Bible, I'll be inviting you to turn there in a moment. The point I am going to make, friends, when we end up in the box, it's too late to change directions. It's too late to get right with Christ. If we haven't done it here and now in the time we have, and we end up in the box 1 minute after we die, we will either be rejoicing in the presence of Jesus because we have put our faith and trust in Him and live for Him, or we will be eternally apart from God and apart from Christ and the glories of heaven. We will be eternally apart from that 1 minute after we die if we don't prepare here. And so as I read his book, there was a couple chapters early on that I took special note of. One of them was, what happens to believers after they die? I'm looking forward to it. Are you hearing me? Having put my faith in Christ. It isn't about me. I certainly can't work my way there. I can be a preacher all my life. If I haven't surrendered to Christ, it won't matter. But having put my faith and trust in Christ, repented of my sin, and strive to surrender to Him like we just sung about, I too will close my eyes in death. I too will go in the box. Big or little, I'm not sure. I haven't decided that yet. I will go in the box, but 1 minute after I die, I will be in the presence of the living God because of Jesus. And others that have gone on before us from here lately have closed their eyes in death. And 1 minute after they have closed their eyes in death, we're preparing for the funeral. They're in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah! That's really good news. But if we don't get ready and we close our eyes in death and we end up in the box, 1 minute after we've died, we're going to be in eternal misery. We're going to be eternally separated from God, and there's no changing directions. There's no change of address at that point. I'll show you that from Scripture, Luke chapter 16. If you've got your Bibles, that's where we're going to be, beginning at verse 19. Now, let me say this before I start. I don't know how much you think about death. I don't know how much you think about eternity, friends. I happen to think about it quite a bit because I'm normally working with somebody, either in the closing end or the opening end of another funeral, and so I think about death a lot. I just do. Maybe I'm weird that way. I don't know, but I just do. But think of it this way for a moment. 10 years from now, matter of fact, let's back up even further. At the end of this calendar year, there's people that are sitting in this congregation, either first service or this second service, that won't be here at the end of this calendar year. That's just the facts. Old age, accidents, cancer, tragedy, shootings, like happened in Florida this week. At the end of this year, people that sit here today or sat here in the earlier service, there'll be people that won't be here. At the end of 10 years, there'll be a lot more of us could be missing. At the end of 50 years from right now, most of us will not be on planet Earth anymore. We are all going to end up in the box, whether we think about it, whether we like it or not. Unless Jesus returns, we will physically die, and we're going to end up in the box. There's a story in the Bible about that. And I've chosen that story to help us be reminded of a few things. And so whether we think about eternity or not, whether we think about death or not, probably tells if we really made preparations for eternity or not. We do have to make preparations. You see, Jesus has taken upon Himself our sin and nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah! That's good news. But we have to repent of our sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive Him by faith and surrender to Him and allow Him to lead us in life. It was Jesus that said in Matthew 7:21, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. They will think it was all right. Some people will think everything is okay with me because I get to church once in a while. Matter of fact, I even got baptized. Matter of fact, I did something good to my neighbor once. People will think everything is well, but we'll get to this point, and 1 minute after we die, we will realize it wasn't right at all. And then it's too late. And so, I share this story with us because I opened up this can of worms last week in Matthew 7:21 and 22. And now I want to bring it all to reality. Luke 16, Jesus tells a very real story about very real people in very real places. Jesus is telling the story. This is not a parable. This is real people. Because Jesus said as He embarks on this message, there was a certain man. He was a real man. This particular one that He begins to describe was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he was very well-to-do. Now let me say this too, in the Jewish culture and perhaps beyond at their time, if you were well-to-do and if you were well-dressed and if you fared sumptuously every day, in other words, ate like kings and queens, it must mean God has blessed you. It must mean that. Hello, Punkin. Where are you headed? So when he tells this story about the rich man and what happens to him, it flies in the face of their thinking. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. In other words, he had nothing. Moreover, he was apparently afflicted with sores or something. The dogs came and licked his sores. These are real people. In time, Jesus said, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's what happens, by the way, when we die and we're going home to be with Jesus, carried by angels. The rich man died too and was buried. He went into the box, if you will, or into the tomb or the sepulcher. In their day, the rich man would have went into a nice tomb, into a nice sepulcher. The poor man would have been thrown in the dump in the day. Jesus said, the rich man died and was buried. And then he says a very curious thing. Jesus said, and being in torment in Hades, that's the rich man, he was able to look afar off. It said he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off. And in Abraham's presence, in his bosom, was the poor man, was Lazarus. 1 minute after they died, yes, our physical remains will go into the box or into the tomb, into the sepulcher, but 1 minute after we die, our soul will be in the eternal presence of Jesus or eternally apart from Jesus, one or the other. And this rich man, and let me say it right here, not necessarily because he was rich, but because he didn't have time for God. He was too worried about his own thing, his riches. Because he didn't have time for God, he ends up in this place Jesus called Hades. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus was in his bosom. Now let me say this because I don't have time. I discovered in the first service, I don't have time to elaborate on the difference between Hades and hell, but there is a difference. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word was Sheol. That was the place of the dead. You can read a lot about that. I think it's listed there 60 some times. In the New Testament, it's Hades. That's the place of the dead. Sometimes you'll see in your translations hell or pit or grave. But Hades is the holding place of the dead apart from Christ. And if you read Revelation 20, which I don't have time to today, but if you read Revelation 20, verse 13, 14, and 15, you will see that there will come a time when all of the earth is done, the 7-year tribulation is over, the millennial period is over, that you will see very specifically there that Hades will give up her dead, will stand before the judgment seat of God, only to be graduated into hell. So Hades and hell are not exactly the same, but it's the same result. You can read about that in Revelation 20, 13 through 15. So, back to where I was. Then he, that's the rich man, I'm in verse 24, cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. 1 minute after he died, he recognized several things. One of which, very, very conscious, very clearly in torment. 1 minute after he died physically on earth. But Abraham answered him and he said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And then he said, besides all that, between us and you, there is this great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. In other words, Lazarus cannot come and offer you any comfort. And then he says, nor can those from there pass to us. In other words, when the rich man had found himself ended up in torment in Hades, there is no opportunity for him ever to leave there. That's what Jesus said. There's this great gulf fixed between them. They don't go back and forth, no matter what you've been told or what you've been heard or heard. You cannot move from Hades to heaven. When we close our eyes in death and we find ourselves at the judgment of God, listening to what I said from Matthew 21, There's 7, 21 and 22. And Jesus says, depart from me, I don't know you. We will enter into that place apart from him forever with no opportunity to be redeemed anymore. Our opportunity for redemption is here and now. And back to the story. Then he, that's the rich man, said, I beg you, therefore, Abraham, I beg you, Father, that you would send him, that's the beggar, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He has now gone from a person with all the luxuries of the world, all the comforts, to a person in torment and now concerned eternally about his brother's well-being. Abraham said to him, in essence, he said, your five brothers have Moses and the prophets. You see, Jesus is telling this story. We don't have the New Testament yet because Jesus was here. But they had the Old Testament. And he must be talking about a Jewish man that was well-to-do because he called him Father Abraham. And so Jesus said to him, they have Moses. They have the prophets. Let them hear them. That's the same as saying today, we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have people proclaiming the goodness of God. We need to hear from them and respond. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. That will wake them up. If somebody that they know has died goes to them, that will speak more to them than anything else. And he said to them, this is Abraham to the rich man, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one will rise from the dead. 1 minute after we die, friends, we are either going to be in the untold glory in the presence of Jesus and with those loved ones that have put their faith in Christ and walked with him, we're either going to be with them for eternity or we are going to be in untold misery and torment apart from God forever. 1 moment after we die, 1 moment after we die, we are going to be very aware of our surroundings. Look at what the rich man said in verse 24. He cried out to Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I am tormented in this place. 1 moment after we die, we are going to be very aware of our surroundings. 1 moment after we die, we will recognize, as the rich man did, if we never got right with God through faith in his Son here, 1 moment after we die, we will recognize it's too late. This is not about being a church member. Are you hearing me? This is not about being good. God will take the vilest, the most nasty, the wretched, the most chief among sinners, as he has with many, including myself, and he will redeem you. He will save you. He will wash you in the blood of Jesus. If we will simply repent and cry out in surrendered, humble repentance to Christ, he doesn't care about our past. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, to deal with our past. He cares about our future. But if we never come to faith in Christ, if we never come to the cross and cry out in humble surrender, forgive me, Father. I believe you sent Jesus Christ to die for my sin. I receive him by faith. make me your child. I want to follow you. If we never get around to that, one moment after we end up in the box, we're going to know it is too late. One moment. I heard a lady on Christian radio say some time ago, her brother was a very famous atheist who did speaking things all over the globe, boasting about being an atheist. And his sister, who was a Christian, who had pleaded with him to get right with God through faith in Christ all his life, she was on Christian radio, and she said this after the atheist brother died. She said, "He's not an atheist anymore." One moment after we die, we will realize if we ever got around to following Christ or not. Now, I know that hell and death are not popular subjects. I get it. Dr. Erwin Lutzer said that in his book, too. We don't speak much about hell. We don't like to be judgmental. We don't like to convey judgment. And we argue why this or that, or we argue like the universalist does, well, all roads lead to heaven anyway at some point. I'm here to tell you, if the Word of God is true, all roads do not lead to heaven. Jesus said very clearly, there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow road that leads to life. According to the Word of God, all roads do not lead to heaven, like is a universal thought today. Well, eventually, all roads lead to heaven and God anyway, not according to the Word of God. That's why Jesus gives us these warnings. Wake up, people! I have sent my Son to die for your sin. Repent, believe, and receive Him by faith, and be ready when we end up in the box to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." But if we never get ready, we're only going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so, like I said, I'm not done here, but the time is pretty well gone. I opened up this can of worms last week from Matthew 7 and 21 and 22, talking about what Jesus said and how He even said in verse 22, there's going to come a point in time on that judgment day when people say, "But God, but God, but God, but God, we did this, we did that, we did this." And it isn't going to matter because we are never born again. We never surrendered completely to Christ. We never lived for Him. And when we get to the box, it's too late. And so, let me wrap this up by saying, then we're going to close in a song. We are one breath away from eternity. Every one of us, I don't care how old or how young. Matter of fact, when I got done with the first service this morning, well, we all know about the shooting that just happened. 17 children just like that. Eternity began. God knows when your eternity will begin. But when I got down to the first service, I walked down to my seat, and Carla Lehigh was standing there, and she leaned over and she whispered to me, she said, "I had an uncle. Went out last night. Went out to have a good time. When he left the establishment that he was in, walked to his car, he had a heart attack and died. Life was over just that fast. Son found him there some hours later in the car, dead, ready for the box." When that happens to us, whether it's heart attack, whether it's cancer, whether it's accident, whether it's tragedy like in Florida, whether it's natural old age or whatever else it is, if we have not surrendered to Christ, it's too late. We close our eyes in death, it's too late. Now you say, you can argue with me all day long and you can argue with Scripture. Well, Jim, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. What have you done with Christ? Have you repented of sin? Are you following Christ? "He that does the will of my Father who is in heaven," is what Jesus said, will be in heaven. And so I ask us today, friends, just come on up. We're going to sing this song. Do you know that you know? The Bible says it this way in 1 John chapter 5, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. I said this last week, but I'll say it again. If we say we're Christian and we're still following the world, something isn't adding up. Something's not computing. Because when we are born again, that's Jesus' terminology, John chapter 3, when we are born of the Spirit, by faith we have received Christ because we know we're a sinner that needs a Savior. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives. That's why it's a spiritual rebirth. When that happens, we are called, according to the Scripture, a new creation. The old things are the old things. Behold, all things have become new. So you'll know if you've got the Son. He that has the Son, S-O-N, has life. He that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. Have you surrendered to Christ? Repented of sin? Received Him by faith? Are you following Jesus? If you haven't, friends, I wouldn't put it off. 17 children on midweek went to school, took their lunchbacks, took their backpacks, and eternity began just like that. Carla's uncle last night went out for a good time, got in his car, had a heart attack, and died just like that. So if you're rationalizing and saying, well, Jim, I'm pretty young yet. I got a bunch of time, I think. I don't think God's coming back for a while, and I'm pretty sure I ain't going to die for a while. I wouldn't gamble that way. I wouldn't play Russian roulette with your soul. Hell is real. Jesus described it. Hell is real. The Old Testament said hell is hungry and it'll never be filled up. It's always got appetite and room for more. If we don't get right with Christ, if we don't surrender completely to Jesus Christ, and we close our eyes and we end up in the box, it's too late. This is not about denominations. It's not about baptism even. Not about confirmation. It's not about being a church member. This is about Jesus. What have I done with Jesus? Friends, I don't mean to badger you, but I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to get to that point and say, yeah, but I was religious. Yeah, but I went to church. I don't want you to get to that point and miss it. We need to get it. We need to be born again. We need to trust Christ as Savior and Lord here and now, and He will lead us all the way home. Amen? If you're not sure if you've done that, I want to see you. I want to hear from you. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Let's pray. Faithful Father, thank you for giving us this reminder. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this very real story. We will die. We will either go to Hades and hell, or we will go to heaven. It all depends upon what we have done with Christ. He has died for our sin. He has taken upon us all sin on Himself, all of our sin, and nailed it to the cross. But if we never repent of sin, if we never decide about Jesus to commit, to surrender to Christ, our lives by faith, we will die and it will be too late. Father, I pray that that isn't the case for anybody in this church. I pray that that isn't the case for anybody in this town. I really pray that it's not the case for anybody. And yet it's going to be. Jesus said it's real. Many people are going to miss it. They're going to put their faith in something else, and they're going to miss it. They're going to miss the grace of God. They're going to miss the blood of Jesus. They're never going to get around to putting their faith in Christ. And they're going to miss it eternally. God, help us not to miss it. Help us to get right with you, Father, through faith in your Son, and be filled with and led by your Spirit, and you will lead us all the way home. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everyone here. Speak to our hearts, and if we're not right with you, Father, don't give us rest and peace in our heart until we do. Matter of fact, I pray you give us turmoil, and you give us heartburn, and you give us anxiety, until we cry out to Christ and are born again. Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. I pray for this nation. I pray for this church. I pray for this community. I pray for our families. Oh, that we would get right with you, Heavenly Father, through faith, surrendered faith in your Son. May it happen over and over again today, tomorrow, and the next day until Jesus comes. May people continue to surrender to Christ. Glorify your name, Father, by saving more souls, including us, and transform us and renew our minds and help us to follow Jesus. I pray in His precious name. Amen.